Luke, the physician, is the only one that tells this account of the woman healed that was once bent over. It was Jesus' custom to preach at different synagogues on Sabbath day, which for us is Saturday. That particular Saturday, a woman came across Jesus' path who had a condition that left her bent over. For 18 years, this physical and spiritual condition prevented her from standing up straight. It is one of those uniquely human traits that we have. We bipeds can balance on 2 feet, walk, stand, run for hours on end. Almost all other creatures, great and small, are permanently bent over and walk on 4 feet. The woman is not even looking for healing that day that we know of. She's coming to worship on Sabbath day. Jesus interrupts her coming, calls her to himself. He tells her that she has been loosed, set free, lays hands on her, and immediately she straightens up, stands up high, and she praises God. Jesus facilitates her worship that day. She's come to church to give thanks for many things, and now Jesus makes her cup overflow with unexpected blessings. Sadly, it soon becomes a turf war. The leader of the synagogue, the chair of that congregation. Jesus, the guest preacher, has now crossed the line. He heals on this holy day. The leader of the synagogue has the audacity not to scold Jesus, but to scold the woman. Come on Sunday through Friday to be healed, but don't do that on Saturday. Jesus calls the leader of the synagogue and those who are in his corner hypocrites, because they see, Jesus sees the inconsistency of their faith and their practice. He points out the tragic irony of the situation. Think about other creatures that are bent over, Jesus says. The ox and the donkey. The backs of those beasts of burden are yoked and loaded Sunday through Friday. But on the Sabbath day, you hypocrites, you relieve them, you untie them, you loose them, set them free. You show compassion to those beasts by even leading them to water. That is what Jesus did in healing the woman and freeing her. He loosed her from bondage. It's why the people of God gathered on Saturdays in the first place, every week, since the Exodus, celebrating God loosing them from bondage in Egypt and slavery. This woman's back is no longer yoked and loaded with the heavy burden of what was physically and spiritually afflicting her. Jesus is now actually making it possible for her to experience true rest on this holy day. At the same time, Jesus points out how the others are bent out of shape with their abuse of power, especially those among the religious authority. They twist the spirit of the law and the goal of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is intended to be a day of celebration, rest, refreshment of what it means to truly be a child of God, loosed from the bondage of Egypt and made now the people of God. Jesus points out the sad ridiculousness of their spiritual oppression, their narrow interpretation, their judgmentalism add additional weight to the back of this poor woman whose burden is already too great to bear. Luke, the physician, doesn't give us a diagnosis, really, of what her condition is. The details of what it is that the spirit that was crippling her was. Was it this toxic religious community? Was it an unnamed evil, the powers of the darkness that were even lurking among the leadership of the synagogue? Was it her demons that were haunting her for past sins? I believe Dr. Luke does not give us the full diagnosis here, because it could be any and all of those things, or maybe even something else unmentioned. Jesus wants us to consider what may be holding us down, bending us over, preventing us from holding our heads up high as the people of God. What is the heavy burden that you and I are carrying this morning? A burden too great to bear. What demons oppress you and me? How has religion not facilitated but impeded what God is doing and what He wants to do in each of our lives? Where is the liberating power and truth of the gospel bent out of shape? What shame or guilt keeps us from standing tall and knowing that we are forgiven and daughters and sons of God? I love how Jesus elevates this woman's upper body so that she can stand tall and straight. But I love even more how God, through Christ, restores her dignity and humanity, and then calls her a daughter of Abraham. This title was always reserved in the masculine form for men. Son of Abraham, or sons of Abraham. This radical title that Jesus comes up with, which is nowhere to be found in the Old Testament or any other passages in the New Testament, is reserved for those male descendants of Abraham by circumcision. And here Jesus has the audacity to call this woman and to point out her true nature as a child of God, as a royal child, as a daughter of Abraham. She can now stand tall physically because of his healing her. But now she can stand tall spiritually and socially. This daughter of Abraham is as much the apple of God's eye as any man. Jesus widens the front door of that place of worship that Saturday. And he gives these leaders a broader vision and a greater vision of God's redemptive power. It's Jesus' joy to take the scorn of this woman, to take her shame and her stigma upon himself, and to confront those powers and the abusive power that was poisoning that synagogue that day in that place of worship, and preventing this woman and others from fully realizing who they are. And Jesus will be scorned and shamed and accused of breaking the law again for you and me. He will suffer the abuse of power once more. He'll take upon himself the heavy beam of the cross of Calvary and journey toward his crucifixion, bent over. Jesus takes upon himself the heavy load of our sin, evil, and even death itself. Not just out of this woman, not just for her, but for the whole world. Just as Scripture says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Jesus will straighten himself out on the cross and spread his arms wide, welcoming all of those to come to him. He'll hold his head high as he cries out forgiveness for those who do not know what they are doing because they are so bent out of shape. He'll give eternal life to those who are rightly condemned. Jesus will be bent over again in the tomb, lifeless, and he'll appear to be unable, quite unable, to stand up straight. But on the third day, he will get up, stand up tall, head held high, and proclaim your victory and my victory. So you and I can stand tall this morning on the Lord's day, when he looses us, standing on the shoulders of Christ who died and rose, knowing our full worth and dignity, not as just human beings, but as daughters and sons of the Most High. We are now set free to be the people of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.